we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Well, good Thursday to you, Brevard County. We are thankful that you tuned in today to the Refresh Radio program. My name is Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God, and you are listening to WMIE 91.5. Maybe today I should slow my mouth down to make sure that my mouth works appropriately. You might be listening at 10:30 on WWBC. By the way, in case you are wondering, the broadcast times here on 91.5, this program airs at 8:30 of a morning, and then it is rebroadcast at 5 o'clock of an evening. It is also broadcast at 10:30 of a morning on WWBC 1510 AM. And then there's the TuneIn app that you can listen to. There's the WMIEFM.com webpage that you can listen on demand. There are a lot of different ways that you can avail yourself of the broadcast. And right now, I don't know how many people are trying to help other believers get equipped for persecution or not, but that's where we're at on the radio program right now, because Jesus had said in Matthew chapter 5, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Persecution is not a curse. Persecution for the right reason sets us up for blessing. And we get to see Jesus' name glorified during that process. Today, I want to take you to the 21st chapter of Luke. Luke chapter 21. We're going to read 10 verses today. Verse number 10 of Luke chapter 21 says, then he said to them, nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be great earthquakes in various places and famines and pestilences, and there will be fearful sights and great signs from heaven. But before all these things, they will lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and prisons. You will be brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. But it will turn out for you as an occasion for testimony. Therefore, settle it in your hearts not to meditate beforehand on what you will answer. For I will give you a mouth and wisdom which all your adversaries will not be able to contradict or resist. You will be betrayed even by parents and brothers, relatives and friends, and they will put some of you to death. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake, but not a hair of your head shall be lost. By your patience, possess your souls. By your patience, possess your souls. So let's look at this. Jesus is saying that there is going to be a time of great strife and discord that comes across this planet. There's going to be one people group. That's what the word nation means, is people group. There's going to be one people group rising up against another people group. One king and his kingdom is going to rise up against another king and their kingdom. By the way, you know, as far as I can tell from a world standpoint, that is all about money and control and what is in it that is in the best interest of that king, not necessarily what is in the best interest of that servant. It goes on to say, not only will there be unrest on a international scale, not only will there be political unrest, but there will be natural unrest as well. Great earthquakes. Earthquakes happen when tectonic plates are moving in opposite directions. Fault lines are building up. One is moving in one direction and one is moving in the other direction. Do you see how that could create conflict in the spiritual realm? When you are moving towards God in a society that is moving away from God, there is going to be times where there is friction that takes place there, and it might get to be where there is more and more pressure because the forces behind those plates, those fault lines, they're not letting up. The devil still hates God, and God is still trying to plunder the kingdom of darkness. And so the pressure is always there. And if we hit a snag, if things get caught up and it doesn't seem like things are progressing, all of a sudden, when enough pressure builds up and those plates shift, it can bring down buildings. It can compromise the integrity of structures that could be a long, long way away. They try and find the epicenter of where these things happen, but the damage is not limited to the epicenter. It stretches out for a long, long way. Right now, there's a great deal of activity from an earthquake standpoint and a volcanic eruption standpoint. Guatemala has been hit. Hawaii had Kilauea was erupting for weeks and weeks and weeks. And to see those pictures of, I remember seeing one picture where a guy opens his door. He had been told to leave and he didn't leave. And the lava just kept coming. One day he opened his door and there's lava. And all of a sudden, and that stuff was moving at like 10 miles an hour. And so he raced over to his neighbor's house and had to crawl up on a roof to get somebody to come in and rescue him by helicopter because he simply refused to leave. Let me tell you something, 10 miles an hour is faster than what most human beings can move. I mean, you might be able to go that for a little bit, but this is, I forget. There was one guy that got hit by a small deal of splatter from the Hawaiian volcanic eruption, and it shattered his leg. There is so much weight. And, I mean, you'd tend to think, well, you know, if I got a little drop on me, it might burn a little bit. But it almost killed this guy. It's like, wow. So there's all of this that's going on. There's earthquakes. There's famines, there's pestilences, and there will be fearful sights and great signs from heaven. But before all these things, they will lay their hands on you and persecute you for the sake of Jesus' name. And Paul makes it clear that when he was doing that, he thought he was doing God a service. So people who are persecuting, they may not be bad people. They may just be deceived. So I just encourage you, remember that Jesus died for those persecutors. I want to tell you about a book. I'm not sure how many churches mention this book anymore. It's called Fox's Book of Martyrs. Fox's Book of Martyrs. And there's, you know, smaller versions, and then there's more unabridged versions. But I encourage you, take a little bit of time and read that book, and it will help inform you of how people stood up in the face of persecution when it was not the end thing to do. It wasn't the popular thing to do, but they did it for the glory of God. It is really quite enlightening and quite inspirational. And you might hear about some people in there that you hadn't heard about before, but they are tremendous role models to emulate. Verse number 13, I believe is very, very important. And that is this. It says, but it will turn out for you as an occasion for testimony. When you are going through difficult seasons of persecution, I want to emphasize to you that it's not how the process looks as much as how it's going to turn out. A testimony, the power of a testimony. I discovered something here not too long ago, and that is everybody knows their story. People like to talk about their story. Your story is different from my story. How you came to faith is different than how I came to faith. The things that God healed you from may be different than the things that God healed me from, but he's still the healer. And I love to hear people tell their story. You know, we oftentimes ask the listeners of this program, if you got a prayer request, if you got a praise report, contact us on our webpage or something, you know, drop us a note, call the church office, leave a voicemail. If you do that, it's got to be under a minute, because that's how long our answering machine allows for a message to be, is a minute, I believe. So if you're going to do it that way, talk fast. But why don't you, you know, if you get a chance, maybe sit down and say, God, what is my story? I remember when I first got into ministry, I was going to go on a missions trip with the church I grew up. It was the year that I graduated high school. Dirt was still new. And I was going on this missions trip, and they said, you're going to need to write down your testimony, because on this trip, you're going to have opportunity to share that testimony. Testimonies often shine the brightest when they are stories of victory that come out of the darkest or most challenging seasons. Persecution sets us up for a testimony. I've got this phrase circled in my Bible, but it will turn out for you. It will turn out for you. I believe that God works all things together for the good of those that love him, to those who are called according to his purpose. I believe that because it's written in the Word. I also believe that Jesus ascended to the right hand of the Father because it was expedient for us. It was profitable for us that he did so, because if he had not done so, then the Holy Spirit would not have been poured out, and he has been poured out. That is in our best interest. The devil sets you up for failure, but God always sets you up to succeed. In the Old Testament, Balaam was summoned to curse God's people, but God turned Balaam's curse into a blessing. And he still does that. So, if you find yourself in persecution, the first step I want to talk to you about today is that you understand that this is going to turn out differently than what it looks like right now. How is this going to end up? My family hates watching movies with me, especially movies that I haven't seen, because I'm trying to figure out, how is this story going to end? So, years and years and years ago, it's probably 20 plus years ago now, I don't know, people, you know, the end movie was the Titanic, and people would say, have you and Cindy gone to see the Titanic yet? And I said, no, why would I want to go see that? They said, well, what do you mean? It's a great movie. I said, I already know how it ends. The boat sinks. It's like, oh, you know, whatever. When I was a kid, I watched the Ten Commandments, and I realized that Hollywood would put things into movies that weren't actually biblical. They would take dramatic license. And if you start buying into the things that people put in there for dramatic license, then you are going to come away with what the director or the writer wanted you to perceive as the truth. But in actuality, it was something different. We saw a movie not too long ago, and I did some research on the movie. It was a very, very good movie, very entertaining movie. But it wasn't factual based at all. It was written, directed, and acted for an entertainment standpoint, but it actually slandered the person who was who was the star of the show. Now he's dead. He doesn't care anymore. But it caused things to be presented as fact that weren't fact. They were theatrical. It didn't turn out that way at all. Remember that God will cause whatever you and I go through to simply add to your story. On Facebook, I get these things and it says, such and such a person has added to their story. And I haven't really figured out why that is there, because it shows a post or whatever, but it doesn't really give me much opportunity to interact. And then it's moving right on to somebody else's story. Well, guess what? When you and I are in persecution and we are trusting in Jesus, we are just adding to our testimony. We're adding to our story. It says, therefore, settle it in your hearts not to meditate beforehand on how you will answer. You see, when you're going through persecution, it is not just dependent. You're not just depending upon your own creativity, your own wisdom, your own insight. You are having to depend upon God. Persecution propels us into the presence of God, where we have to listen for instruction more than we've ever had to listen before. I don't know if you've ever been in that situation where you were listening to someone who was telling you step by step how to get through something, but when you are fixated on that person's voice, voices of distraction are no longer tolerated. You will say things, look, I'm going to need you to be quiet so I can hear what this person has to say, because the only way we're getting through this is if I follow their instructions. You know, you're going to want everybody to be quiet. You're not going to be wanting anybody clowning around or anything like this. If you're in a life and death situation, you're listening with intention and you are listening with focus, and you're not going to tolerate nonsense. And so if you find yourself in a desperate situation, please understand that God is going to work in this situation. You're going to add to your story. And the reason that you're going to add to your story is because you may have never had to depend upon God to the extent you are at that exact moment. And people would say, well, that's a bad thing. And I tell you, it's exactly the opposite. I think it is a phenomenal thing. When we get driven into the presence of God, and when we lean upon God, we're going to find that he is not an empty shell, that he is not a person that makes empty promises. Listen to verse number 14. For I will give you a mouth and wisdom which all your adversaries will not be able to contradict or resist. You are going to find that God flows through you, and it's not because of, you know, how special you are or how special I am. But always remember this, that when you are ministering to people who are expressing animosity to the kingdom of God and to his representatives, that the Spirit of God at that exact point in time is revealing to those people through you and through me how much he desperately loves those who are fighting against him. I had a dream one time. I was praying for a person, and they were going through a very spiritually challenging season. And in this dream, God spoke to me and said, look, the enemy is not just after that person. He's after you as well. And here's how you get out of this situation. And you know what God's provision was, God's wisdom? It was exactly the opposite of my natural personality. What God asked me to do was one of the most challenging things that I ever had to do. But it was exactly the right answer. You say, oh, well, that just doesn't sound like it. Listen, when you're listening to spiritual voices, I say this all the time. There are three spiritual voices. There's the Spirit of God. You always want to do what he says to do. There's the demonic spirits. You don't ever want to do what they want you to do. And then there's your own spirit. And your own spirit can echo either one. But most of the time, my spirit speaks. It speaks out of either personal experience or personal convenience or both. But that that's the voice that's the hardest to distinguish, because there are times when I thought I heard from God and I heard from Bob. I thought I heard from the Spirit of God, but I actually heard from the spirit of Bob. The Bible says that prophets prophesied out of their own spirits. I don't want to do that. When God starts speaking through you, it may not be the thing that you want to hear. The thing that he asks you to testify and speak about may not come easy, but it will be right. Wisdom is proved right by all her actions. And so God never wastes anything. If you had an opportunity and you blew it, don't beat yourself up over it. You'll get to take that test over again. And when you take that test over again, remember where you messed up the last time, and don't make the same mistake over and over and over again. There are a lot of 60 and 70 year old Christians out there that are still taking fourth grade spiritual exams because they have never passed the test. God doesn't give social promotion. What that is promote people just because they get older. That's not the way it works. God promotes people when they pass the spiritual exam. And so he says, lean upon God and I will give you God. You're going to find God present and that he's not empty. He's going to provide everything that you need. He says in verse number 18, but not a hair of your head shall be lost. Now, you need to understand that he has just said some of them are going to be put to death. Some are going to be hated for his namesake. In other words, for some, their social life has just been completely turned on its head. Their family life has now been completely altered. Their career destroyed and devastated. Their physical life may have been terminated. But he says, but not a hair of your head shall be lost. Jesus said, of all that the Father has given me, I have lost none, except for the one doomed for perdition. One of the scriptures that I really like is, but God is faithful to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. When I think of that, if we really, truly, honestly believe that, then what we are going to find is that we're going to be committing more and more and more into his hands for that day, because we know that nothing's going to be lost. Not a seed that you've ever sown has been lost. Your reward has not been lost. Your prayers have not been gone unheard. They're not lost. God knows exactly where he keeps your prayers. He stores up your tears. Everything that you have ever given over to God, he's still got. I mean, in our storage, we've gone through it. We've gotten rid of a number of things through the years. But there are a number of crates that we have, and on the outside of those crates is written Mom's Treasure Box. Mom's Treasure Box. There are things that she's got in there that have little monetary value, but they have tremendous personal value to her, because they're the artwork of when our kids were little, outfits that they wore. There's just a whole lot of things in there. And she said, those things are important to me. A lot of times the kids, they might not have that same value, but for her, they're important. I don't know if you ever watched the movie Richie Rich, there were thieves who were going to break in and steal out of the family vault, which was a Mount Rushmore-type facility. And they said, man, if this is the type of stuff that he keeps on his house, can you imagine the real treasure that is in the family vault? And they go in there, and when they get in there, it is all of these things that have relational value, but really not much in monetary value. God's keeping all of that stuff. Your reward will not be lost. Your prayers will not go unanswered. God will work. So verse number 19, here's the last thing. By your patience, possess your souls. By your patience, possess your souls. This means to set out to acquire or possess. The other verse that comes to mind when I think of this verse is take your thoughts captive and subject them to the lordship of Jesus Christ. If you and I do not maintain control over our thoughts, over our mind, our will, our emotions, they will run rampant. Did you know that you can allow fear and worry to run your life, but it will not accomplish anything in your life? It'll cause you to go running around in circles like a dog chasing its tail. Probably the best example I ever saw of this, my wife and I, when we had been married 10 years, and we just had our anniversary here not too long ago, and it was much more than 10, we were on a cruise, and I saw this man in a wheelchair who was on this cruise, and he had a sign on the back of his wheelchair. He needed help getting around wherever he went, and he said something like this: 97% of the things that people worry about never come to pass. And I realized that here was this guy who had less physical abilities than almost everybody else on that cruise ship. And he was using his platform to say, don't let worry run your life. With patience, possess your souls. Don't let your emotions run your life. Let the Spirit of God cause you to have control over your mind, your will, and emotions. And you will find that even during the difficult seasons, that God is still in control. How does it look right now? You know, I'm not really concerned about how things look at a particular stage in their developmental process. What I want to know is this: how's it going to look when it gets done? And I pray that you and I, that our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ will come shining forth like pure gold. God bless you. You have a marvelous Thursday. We'll look forward to seeing you back tomorrow right here on the Refresh radio program.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.